Good afternoon. Good morning is gone. Oh, maybe the Americans. Good morning. Welcome. I have just seen that there are many participating today on this call. Fritz and myself will give you now a short presentation, and then please ask your questions. Of course, this is not an easy day for Fritz and myself, and not for the Lenzing company. You surely have read already the press announcement and the presentation, maybe. But just to make a very important statement, we are in control of the company, we are in control of cash, and we are in control of EBITDA. However, if I may start with page 3 of the executive summary, 9 months EBITDA of 196, excluding plastics effect from the first half, is in line with expectations. I know that this is not important anymore for you, but still I would appreciate that you take notice of that, that at least the first 3 quarters we delivered as to the guidance. We are selling quite good. That means demand supply balance surprisingly is I would not say is in a balance, but is we see when we sell 12% more, 660,000 tons in the first 3 quarters, that there is demand, and we even would say that utilization rate with our Chinese competitors also has gone up. What we have a problem in is fiber prices, which further decreased, and which decreased 14%, which is almost 25 cents over the year, from fourth quarter last year to third quarter this year. So this is also, I would say, the starting point when we come then to the new guidance. Because of the situation that third quarter average result or average sales price was 167, and particularly September and October, and also the first week of November, maybe also due to the fact that the ICAC has announced a further 2 million add on the cotton stock, made us to believe and to expect that 2014 and 2015 are more of the like of the fourth quarter, at least of the first 6 weeks, than of the third quarter. If we have a reduce of almost 5-6 cents per kilo in October, we must come to the conclusion that we are not able to immediately in the first half or even the second half of 2014 to recover this quite significant cut in prices. Still, on the background that we are running all lines at all sites, whether it's viscose, motal, or Dentsel. When we came to the conclusion that we will not be able to achieve the, and to make the guidance, whether it's for 15 or for 20 million, we also took the decision, okay, let's take a clean sweep of the balance sheet, and also let's take a clean sweep on the P&L, particularly on restructuring cost. I come later on the Excellence 2.0, but when we guide you that the new EBITDA is 220 to 230, it includes a significant write-off on several issues, as well as restructuring charges, particularly from the Excellence 2.0, which is particularly from personnel. So when sales prices are down or below the expectation, and of course on the background that actually also since mid of September and October, LCs came in a little bit later, just two weeks, We're still facing tight credit control in China. We saw that the stock is going up a little bit, not only in Lenzing, but also with the customers. We got quite cautious, and therefore also we adjusted the sales volume down from 910,000 in August to 890,000 now. That we had a fire in SPV in October, a small one, and that we had some other troubles again in China is not the reason. Of course, it is adding to the adjustment, but it's not the major reason. I'm quite frank with you on that. So sales on 1.9 billion, 100 million less, but that's just 2-3 cents on the average price less times the volume. And EBIT 220 to 230, which also means later on EBIT between 75 and 85. You are well aware that since beginning of the year we started with Excellence 1.0 with a running rate of about 11 million euro on OPEX savings. We have been until the end of third quarter well in plan. I think we also published a figure of 34 million, including some capex savings. That's 50 million, so not bad. But on the background that what we saw in September and October, we immediately started Excellence 2.0, which will work on an overall basis of savings of 120 million, for instance, in 2015. On almost the triple of savings compared to Excellence 1.0. So, as I have been asked already, is that 120 million just total for 2014 and 2015? No, that's a year figure. Of course, we will not be able to make the 120 million immediately in 2014, but this is the net target also, and it's not the preliminary target. There are very, very clear underlying tickets for this 120 million. So this is the net target for 2015, and we are doing our level best to achieve, hopefully, let's say, two-thirds of this 120 million already in 2014. As we are writing here, to safeguard Lenzing's cost leadership, of course, I have to admit that we lost a little bit our cost leadership, because otherwise we would not be in a position, or not necessarily to cut 120 million, because this is a substantial amount of money. When we see and when we say that the fourth quarter more or less is the underlying quarter for 2014 and 2015, we have to face that this is several cents below that what we expected, and therefore we have to act wherever we are calling the shots, and that's personal cost as well as SG&A and other operating costs, and therefore we are cutting heavily into this kind of cost. So on the next page.
Page four.
Fritz is taking over.
Yes. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Fritz Wenninger speaking. We are on page number four now. And of course, I would like to elaborate a bit more on the cotton situation, which is the influencing factor of the textile industry, as we all know. And despite the production volumes go down year by year, so even to the last crop, this crop will go down another 1.2 million tons roughly, and mainly driven by the Chinese, by the US, and by the Pakistani. But the real issue we do have in cotton is that the demand is not rising accordingly, and you see really a flattish demand or stable demand compared to the last crop. And this is the issue that we have about 2 million tons of further stock increase on the global base. And of course, the Chinese are ramping up the stocks more and more. They have more than 50% of the world stocks right now then, after the next year's, after this year's crop, which is finished by June next year. China, a stock to use ratio of about 140%, extremely high. In the rest of the world, on the other side, it's close to 60%, which is getting to normal levels, because a normal level of stock to use ratio is about 50-55%. So this is a bit the uncertain situation we're all facing in, and the cotton price still went down over the last days from about 90 to 85 cents a pound, but this not reflecting, of course, the high stock levels as we do have right now. If we move to page number 5, the viscose environment, which is in the limbo, as we write in the headline, if you see the prices, the Q3 compared, or end of September compared to end of June, we had a further slowdown by 3%, and negative price premiums to cotton, which was not happening in the past, of up to 10%. If you see currently the price premium viscose to cotton, it's on an equal basis, but not because the viscose fiber price is increased, not because the cotton prices came down slightly to 85 cents a pound. If we get to the next point, the capacities, we have an effective capacity right now of about 5.7 million tons on a global basis, which is an increase of roughly 500,000 tons capacity compared to the end of 2012. So it's not a huge increase. But the big issue is, and this is the Chinese issue in terms of capacities, that the Chinese competitors are extremely cash-driven acting. They are having, and all the industry, including the fiber industry, have a very tight liquidity constraint within China, and we know it on a macro space anyhow, that there is a slowdown of the China's industry. Every sector feels it. We had talks also to BASF. They see the same behavior on their, market segments. And this is, of course, driving a lot the prices down. There is a certain overcapacity, no question about that. But the liquidity issues in the fibers industry, but also in the downstream industry, is pretty tough. And as you know, I mean, if, market shares globally on the Chinese is 60% upwards, this is influencing a lot the worldwide, the global prices. On the other side, which we talked also last time, is this anti-dumping issue on dissolving pulp from America, meaning Canada, U.S. and Brazil. This was now implemented on the 6th of November. It's a preliminary duty which is put in place, and it ranges from 10% up to 50%. And of course, the impact is not yet seen on the fiber prices, but at the end of the day, if this is put through, there has to be an impact, because the industry per se, the fiber producers, cannot digest anymore. They are anyhow negative, most of them, cannot digest anymore a further pressure on the raw material prices. So far, we do not see the impact, because we feel there's a lot of the previously bought more pulp than they needed and have some pulp on stock. But we feel, and let's see how it develops over the next months to come, if they are keen on, keeping that anti-dumping on imports of dissolving pulp, something must happen. If we are going to page number 6 and just have a short look at the Q3 result, the EBITDA with 61 million is in line with our expectations, what we said last time to you all. We had significantly higher sales volume of 221,000 tons, so a plus of 11%. And of course, we achieved this EBITDA, the excellence program, we called it at this point of time 1.0, helped us a lot to achieve these results. Nevertheless, if we see the price effects, as Peter mentioned it also already, volumes good under control, so to say, or we sell what we produce, but we have an issue on the prices. And the prices came down another 8 cents from Q3 to Q2, and this, if you multiply it with the volume, is another effect of already 17 million. So, of course, we understand that more and more difficult marketing development we get, and we have taken new initiatives to market Tencel. We are more strong in retail cooperation, for instance, taking you one example. We got another big baby wipe program running in the U.S. This is with the big retailer Target. We are increasing right now also the Tencel wipes within Costco. Also, European programs are running, just some examples. So we are, let's say, on a very good way there. But we also started by June, July this year to change and to reorganize our organizational structure in order to be more suited to our specialty strategy, to our, let's say, global market orientation, which is running more into Asia, because more than 60% we are selling already in Asia. So we did a lot of changes in the organization. And of course, one focus is the cost and quality leadership. No question about that, because as viscous as you see it, is getting very, 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 very difficult. And we have to do everything to still entertain margins which we can have on a sustainable basis. What is also decided now is that we get the fourth board member, which is a kind of CEO, chief sales officer, who is really focusing a lot on the specialty sales, on to the retail, the whole supply chain. And of course, I have to focus a lot on the operations, because as our supervisory board always says me, you are responsible to bring up your baby and this Tencel, and we are on the right track there. Let's move to page number 7. Of course, I mean, this we also told you quite often, we cannot decouple ourselves from market development. The speciality share is still on the good way. The premiums, we can tell you also, are between 40 to 60%. Still, this is everything okay. But on the viscous side, we have an issue, and this is the big cost and margin pressure, and we have to really improve by all means our cost position within all our plants we do have. Modal on a very good way. We sell what we produce, and there is further differentiation in micro-modal style colors. It's giving you some examples. Tencel, for instance, the construction of the Tencel Jumbo line here in Lansing is aimed to start in the second quarter of next year. And, of course, as I mentioned before, there are some additional initiatives in order to justify a proper ramp-up of this new capacity. On page number 8, the clear message is the volumes are okay, and you see 222,000 tons, a plus of 12% respective to the comparable period last year. I mean, it's a good, let's say, achievement of the sales team, of our global sales and marketing team. The big issue we do have is a constant price deterioration. And out of the reasons I mentioned before, it's coming out of the Chinese situation right now. And with this environment, of course, we have to live. but in order to really, let's say, act against it, this is our really resharpened, quite strong excellence program we start with 2.0, and will have big impact on our, let's say, cost line at the end of the day in order to really work against properly the deteriorating price environment. Well, Peter, you are more fitted to the financials on page number 9. If you would like to continue, please.
Yeah, well, this is just to inform you that net financial debt is up a little bit in total from 424 to 461. There are some reasons, of course. We have in the third quarter cash taxes of 10.6 million. Net interest is 6 million. We have a change in working capital. I admit that on the one side we have a little bit low stock on pulp in China. On the other side we have a little bit high stock of pulp in Indonesia. We can explain that. Most of that is contributed to the startup of our biggest pulp suppliers plant in the U.S. And we took a lot of this startup quality. So that is contributing to that. I'm pretty sure that by the end of the year, this change in working capital is considerably down. So when I mentioned at the beginning that we are under clear control of liquidity, yes, we are. I think this, please take this as a very, very specific and important message from us. We have 344 million on cash. In total, 530. We have 180 million on undrawn credit lines, which we didn't touch for the last almost nine months. So we have cash and lines available of more than 500 million euro. You may remember when Thomas, former CFO, mentioned that we may further repay and cut down on cash, yes, but we are very careful wherever we are on the renewal of undrawn lines or even on drawn lines. We are going to renew, and only very selectively we are trimming down cash. Equity, I think you can read. We increased 46 to 46% equity ratio, which of course includes quite big dividend payments of 53 million of the first half. So the build up normally is only in the second half, and the net gearing is also a little bit up. What you see in the guidance, to take it already, to anticipate the guidance on the net debt, we are guiding 500 million, so that's a little bit up on the third quarter. But also, please take this as a message, net debt is under control and should not be more than 500 million by end of the year. I am coming to page 10. What are the consequences out of that? Of course, be assured that we are focusing only on profitable growth. That's also, I will make a point then afterwards when I come to Excellence 2.0. As Fritz mentioned, stronger Asian focus. This is all a part of the demand, because you see when we grow with 11%, that does not mean that Lenzing alone is growing. Also, our competitors are growing, which is reflecting that the demand side is, I would say, quite stable, even positive. But just the prices are not following that. Attention on production with focus on cost. I think also Fritz was very clear on that. Ramp up of the Tencel plant next year, and the preparation for that is just going on. operational excellence. We had already a program running in China and in starting last quarter in Indonesia, but now we are immediately spreading operational excellence initiatives all around on all sites, on all production, on all operations, it's from raw material, chemicals, consumption ratios, efficiency improvements, productivity gains, quality issue, and. It's clear also to push specialties. I think also Fritz mentioned here initiatives in the US, in China. We see growing quite good demand of nonwovens in China. And by the way, nonwovens is commanding a quite nice price premium, even on the viscose side against textile viscose. So more innovation. Whenever we do cuts and wherever we do cuts, we are not going to cut our into our own bone. No, I would say, of course, we review and we will put more efficiency in our time to market and in our, I would say, more focus on short-term initiatives so that we have more specialties and modifications in 2014 and 2015. We are not so much looking right now into 2016 and 2017. On the financial targets, very clear. I can give you the assurance that cash generation, cash flow, EBITDA is key. When we talk then about excellence 2.0, the quick wins, the wave one ideas, wherever we can do, have immediately been started to implement. So we are not waiting until end of the year or whenever the plan is going to start. Excellence 2.0 is based on four pillars. The one is operational excellence, people excellence, capital excellence, and commercial excellence. Commercial excellence in the sense of improving the mix of really trying to cater for the best customers. People excellence is of course reorganization, which is in course and which is in the process in the last 3 months. And by end of the year, we have a final and a new and a more efficient and a more customer oriented and more Asian focused organization. On capital excellence is also clear. We focus reduction on working capital, reduction in interest payment, and. And operational excellence is, I would say, key right now to regain cost leadership. And I admit that over the last maybe 18 months, we lost a little bit the focus on cost here and there. Growing very much over the last 3 years, so more than 35%. But this focus on cost is back. All the full management is really fully committed to cut costs, not just on the personnel side, but also on materials, chemicals, and. The net debt to EBITDA, the target, I say the target, is clear. At below or maximum 2.5, as I don't need to explain that the calculation on this ratio depends on two variables and is impacted by two variables. So it could be that particularly next year we may exceed the 2.5. And I am repeating again that we put our level best focus and efforts on providing and paying for 2013 a cash dividend of 1.7, and we do our level best also to pay this dividend in 2014. Let's move to page 11. I think this is just repeating, I'm not repeating that to what is mentioned here, but you just see the time plan, mobilize, full organization is mobilized. We're talking about not only a clearly identified target of 120 million, we are already on course towards the 120 million, even if next year it will not be 120 million, it may be, let's say, 60% of that. So when we cut down on capex and to minimum capex, and when we cut down on working capital, and when we take out 600 people, and when we make a cry to our suppliers for support, you should not, I would say, overestimate and overdo this crisis. We have to do that, because on the other side we still make quite good money, and of course particularly for suppliers it makes a big difference if whether you approach suppliers on the background of 2011 or 2012 figures, or whether you approach suppliers on the background that you cut out 600 employees. And you see that until end of the year, we are now, we have already 1,000 tickets, savings tickets collected. I am sure that another 500 will come. These tickets are now defined, evaluated, prioritized. Yesterday we had a big workshop where all this prioritization was done for the first 1,000 tickets with a clear implementation plan, and also who is doing the implementation. And I would say a lot of these tickets will be EBITDA implemented then immediately wherever now, and then beginning of January. If we move on to the next page, this is about the revised outlook, just to add what is driving this outlook. Of course, as Fritz mentioned, changes in the market environment, and I have to admit that when we had our budget meetings last week, we actually started that the basis for 2014 and even for 2015 would be the third quarter. But that knowing then and getting knowledge about sales and sales prices for October, we had to redo the budgeting, because as you see, the reduction of prices, of price sales price from third quarter to third quarter 2012 is 28 cents. And I don't need to make the calculation what that means on turnover, loss of turnover, lost turnover, and also lost EBITDA at the time when we make 900,000 tons and selling 900,000 tons. So this is a huge impact on turnover and EBITDA. I mentioned already that we had some operational issues, but this is not the main reason for the revised outlook. Again, a fire in SPV just recently after a big fire in the first half. The pipe breakage for the time in Nanjing was resolved. But just last week we had another pipe break. I think we can handle that. We are making actually quite good production figures day by day with good quality in Nanjing. But Fritz mentioned I think China as one of the biggest economies did not do any easing, monetary easing. So that's affecting on the background that you can imagine 10 to 15%, that is what figures Chinese authorities and guys are telling us, experts actually are telling us, that 10 or 15% of the Chinese cotton spinners are going out of the market. Besides that, there is such a tight credit, which of course we see also on our customers. Maybe most important to give you a guidance on why EBITDA is 75 million down. As I said, we make a clean sweep on the balance sheet on assets in China. We are writing off a part of our L&F assets. We are writing off half of our Indian land assets. When we are going to cash out not more than we cash in, there is no way that we would be in a position to invest in our Indian first line of viscose. We are also including in the restructuring charges on Excellence 2.0, which is coming primarily from the people restructuring of the 600 people in the group. Of course, not to mention, as you may have seen on many other companies in Germany and Austria or in Europe, we had some FX effect, but also not as a single effect. This is not driving the change in the outlook. Let me finish with page 13. Just to repeat again, you see on the right side the old forecast, and on the right side, in the middle, the new one. Of course, as already for the first half, that includes 20 million net positive effect on plastics in the EBITDA. So this is the 220-230 is almost the same for the normal as well as for the extraordinary effects on EBITDA. As I mentioned, from the 160 down on the upper side of the EBIT, 75 million, which comprises recharges, write-offs, and restructuring charges. Price is 0.02 down with a lower 20,000 tons and a lower price in total. As I mentioned, that results in the 1.5 billion sales. CapEx, we are still on this level of 260, driven primarily on finishing the Tensile plant in Lenzing and also finishing the 20,000 capacity increase in China, and also now finishing the final and the last CapEx in Paskov in our pulp plant, which is now running since, I would say, July on full dissolving pulp capacity and quite good, reasonable quality. Dividend, cash dividend, we stick to the 1.75, and on the tax rate, there is no reason why we should move away from the 26%-28%. Okay. So we are finished now with the presentation, and please, your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Please, one question per person so that everyone has a chance to ask a question. Should there be time left, we can start a second Q&A session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. And our first question is from Mr. Trubrich.
Good afternoon, Stephanie. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my first question. On the cost savings program, where you plan 120 million per annum, just to get that right, you said that now that in 2014, you aim at roughly 60 million, which will mainly come from personnel savings. Then in 2015, just to get that right, there will be then another 60 million incrementally. So we have in total 120 million, or are you aiming at 120 million per annum? that would be a very important information. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe there have been some misunderstanding. The total target, and this is not preliminary, this is a very clear target, which is already communicated also to the management, is 120 million saving a year. Of course, I think it is understandable that in 2014, when we start with the program, we cannot immediately cover for the 120 million. Let me split it up. This is a best guess, of course. One third would be savings in material, chemicals, utilization rates, optimization, efficiency gains, and, including OPEX, operational excellence. One third is coming from, as I mentioned before, SG&A cost. We have added, admittedly, significantly to SG&A. Primarily on the side of Lansing and on other costs. As Fritz also mentioned, particularly personal cost and other costs, that's impacting very much the cost increases. And that's also, on the other side, I would say the two cost items beside the personal cost where we are calling the shots and where we are deciding what we can do and how much we spend on that. Yes, there will be, there are also included logistics, there are legal costs, advisory costs, and. So we clearly gave out the instruction, cut it down. Whatever does not add to sales or production, we don't need in 2014 and 2015. And the third one, the third block, the third pillar, is also about one third, is personal cost. Mr. Trubrich, you can understand that not all cuts we can do from the very 1st of January on. This, the closer we're getting to production, and we also increase efficiency and productivity in the production-related areas, not only in the SG&E areas, the longer it will take, the more careful we have to be. We are not compromising on safety. We are not compromising on quality. So that's step by step, quarter by quarter. But I think that, let's say, 50% of this one third on personal, maybe even 60, we can implement, and then the full 100% on personal cost will come on 2015. Then also the full 100% of SG&A in 2015, and I think that also our suppliers will help us. So. That's the reason why in 2015 we should calculate the full 120 million cost saving.
Okay, so it's in total. So because it's 60 million out of permanent reduction in the cost structure for 2014, and then we have in 2015, in addition to the 60 million that are already out, another 60 million taken out. So in total, you have 120 million taken out over 2 years, and it's not 120 million per year taken out, because that would add up to 240 then at the end of 2015.
Sorry, I think you didn't get me. I said that in 2014 we calculate on an overall basis of, let's say, 60-65 million overall savings out of all three pillars. Mm-hmm. And in addition, in 2014 we are of the strong expectation, and we are doing our level best, that on all three pillars, materials, personal cost, as well as other costs and SG&A, we will be in a position to run 100%. That means an additional 120 million. So for the 2 years, we are expecting savings of something like 180 million euro.
Okay, and all right. And these are really structural and permanently out of your operating expenditure then? Because it's quite significant. It's more than 10%.
It's quite significant. Of course,
But Mr. Dobrich, that this is absolutely clear. For next year, we have 60 or a bit above 60 million. And then in 2015, because there is a certain lead time we need for all the items at the end of the day, not just the personnel or the other expenses, then we come to the full potential on a yearly basis, which is 120 million.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Good. Thanks.
And the next question is from Mr. Fabio Lopez. Please go ahead.
Hello, Fabio.
Well, I have a lot of questions, but first of all, I think the most important for me at the moment would be to understand of this guidance that was cut from 280 to, let's call, 225. How much was it prices and how much was it impairment? Restructuring. And then link to that, because the depreciation implied here, the difference between the EBITDA and EBIT is 145. So I'm assuming there is also impairments there. Could you break it down so that we know what is our base for the next year? Then I'll come back with further questions later. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Fabio, I'm trying. But as you see from the range of the EBITDA and the EBIT and the quite speedy way we did the new guidance, we need some leverage and some maneuvering. But I try to explain. As I mentioned before, that we are and you correctly mentioned it, that we are writing down some assets in China. And we are writing down half of our land assets in India. That's the write down, which are not showing up on the EBITDA, but they show up on the EBIT. Restructuring charges on the personnel as well as on the some other write offs I mentioned on the pulp is the rest. All in all, about 75, maybe 80 million. When I say maybe, because we are still not yet at the end of the year, and please accept it that I need some maneuvering. All in all, as I said, 80 million, that if you take 160 old EBIT minus 80, that's exactly the midpoint on the EBIT. Is that okay?
Okay, but on the EBITDA, from the 280 to 225, there's a component of restructuring charge. Could you just at least break down this number?
As I'm not sure whether the Workers' Council guy is also listening, I don't want to compromise my negotiation position with the Workers' Council, and I'm not going to tell you what restructuring charge we took on the personnel, but it is a significant two-digit million euro number. On the other side, you were also asking what is coming from sales. I mentioned also at the beginning, and that was the operational reason for changing the guidance, that we are not in a position to retain the 280 for operational reasons, because the fourth quarter is significantly lower than the third quarter on the sales price. When I tell you that 1 cent is 9 million, so 3-4 cent, 35 to 40 million, 61 in the third quarter, and much less in the fourth quarter is reducing the 280 to a significantly lower level. And from that level, you have to start to deduct the recharges and the provisions.
Okay, thanks. I'll come back later.
And we have a follow-up question from Mr. Skubrich.
All right, that was quick. Second question is rather a big picture question. As you say, you expect the difficulties to go into 2014, which I understand, and also potentially into 2015. Now what we have seen in the cotton market, there have been some rumors recently that China might be willing or think about selling their strategic, or we'll see if it's strategic, their reserve into the market. That resulted in a quite tremendous drop in the cotton price. I would appreciate your view on that, how you see that, and also with the recently imposed anti-dumping duties on the softwood pulp, what do you expect going forward and how that could influence your competitive position? Thank you.
Fritz, you want to answer that?
Yes. Okay. Firstly, on the cotton side, yes, indeed, the Chinese made clear something they want to change also on their stock policy, because now they're supporting it by roughly 120 cents a pound, and they want to do a direct support to the farmers, and where they think, of course, that the prices will move down, but they also clearly state, and we have very good information from people from the ministry, they will not like to see the cotton prices, let's say, deteriorating too much, yeah? Because then at the let's say, lowest they bought, the cotton was about 80, 82 cents a pound. And of course, their cost is roughly 100. So they bound about 80, bought at about 80, cost at 100. So you can imagine if they would like to, if they would collapse because they're feeding in too fast into the market, then they would have big losses. I mean, this is a clear understanding from ministry people there that is, yes, they have to do something. They will try to import less from outside and, of course, then to feed in more from the state reserve they do have. But all in all, and this is also the expert view on ICIC and Cotton Inc. from the U.S. also, that it will maybe go down, but it's not a drastic deterioration of prices.
I mean, what are your assumptions for the cotton price over the next 2 years? And do you expect now the lower cotton price to have an effect of the blend rates of your customers?
Yeah, I mean, this is generally the case that there is a price elasticity with cotton. If it comes to kind of let's say proper ratios, then it's again increasing volumes, and this is unfortunate what we do not see right now, because even despite lower prices in cotton, they have a flattish what I said at the beginning, a flattish consumption, but of course the industry per se sees more usage of cotton again, and we expect absolutely a cotton price in a range 80 to 90 cents, despite ICIC still sees a higher cotton price, but is not so specific anymore because they say just it's outside of China, because as you saw before, the stock to use ratio went down outside China. But our view is still between 80 to 90 cents as a cotton price, despite ICIC seeing it at the higher price.
Okay, and on the anti-dumping duties?
So, now coming, I think, is this okay, Mr. Trubrich?
Yeah, so far so okay. Good, thanks.
So far so good. On the anti-dumping issue, Canada, US, Brazil. So it's a big volume of imported volume of roughly 800,000 tons a year, and whereas the cotton consumption within China, the dissolving pulp consumption within China is about 2.7 million tons. So this is a big chunk of dissolving pulp which has to be imported into China, and this is affected. And as I said, from 10 or 8.7 up to 49% of ton of dissolving pulp imported into China. And this, of course, at the end of the day...
It was 10 to 49%? How much was that?
Yes, it's different on the countries. It's okay. Different on the countries. So it's close to 10 in case of Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
It's let's say, other in the U.S., are at 29, and other in Brazil are 49, if I recap it in the right way now. So big, let's say, span of import, anti-dumping import duty. And if we have now a price, market price of $880, so even at 10%, so to say, would be 960 roughly. And this 100, or something close to 100, on the lowest case, already would mean, if you transform it into fibers, a 10 cent additional cost. Yeah, put it like this, additional cost. Of course, we did not see in the let's say last weeks now. No, it's 1 week ago only, so it's a very short review time we have so far. We saw already a slight price increase of up to 300 RMB per ton in China on the Chinese market. Now it's stagnant, so I think it's kind things have to be. Formulated and put through into the industry first. Yeah, the outcome, you know, it's difficult to say, but normally, if costs are higher and you already have no margin, what would you expect? I mean, this is kind of what I can tell
and,
you.
And how large are currently the global dissolving wood pulp production capacities, and how much do the Chinese produce locally? Do you know that?
Yeah. I mean, 700,000 tons roughly. So of this 2.7, 700,000 tons is also cotton linter pulp. This is produced in China locally. So then with the affected one, we are at 1.5 million tons. So the rest has to be either imported from non-affected countries or locally produced. So it's another couple of 100,000 tons they produce themselves. And still some is imported from South Africa, which is not affected, from Europe, which is not affected. Yeah. So this is the situation. But generally speaking, as in all, 60% of the total, roughly 60% of the total dissolving pulp usage for, say, viscose fibers is used in China.
Okay, thank you.
And we have a follow-up question from Mr. Fabius Lopez. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks again. In terms of CapEx for the next years, how should we think about it versus the 260 that you're going to do this year, given the free cash flow is negative now? And how should we think about depreciation? Could you give a rough guidance for next year? Thanks.
Yeah, I think Fabio, because of the current sentiment, I only can give you a guidance for next year. And for next year, I can give you a pretty good guidance. It is about, let's say, 130 to 140 million.
That's the depreciation, right?
No, that's the capex.
Okay.
The depreciation without any one-off write-offs will be something like 110 to 115, 116, 170 million.
Okay. And the cost saving is actually 60 and 60, making a total of 120, just to clarify.
No.
It's 60
again.
And 120.
Please,
so
please,
180
please.
Million.
No. The cost saving for next year is something of 60 million.
Yeah.
Material, personal, and SG&A. And the cost saving for 2015 is a single 2015 number of something like 120 million.
Yes.
Okay, so you think you can take 180 million in 2 years? That's 80%
yes.
of the EBITDA.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That is our planning. That is where we are heading to with our tickets. That is where we give instruction to our management. And as I said, that is one third.
Okay, that helps.
We have an excellent team running on this project, almost 15 people, including workstream managers and site managers, which are particularly responsible for implementing operational excellence initiatives. And I think when I recouped the meeting yesterday, everybody is fully committed. And of course, not everything depends on us, but we are running after every single euro.
Mr. Trubrich,
yeah.
I forgot to answer your one question because you said, I think you meant also the global production of dissolving pulp, right?
Mm-hmm.
This number is close to 6 million tons.
Okay, thanks.
So big number is affected.
Okay, I have also a follow-up question. Can I just go ahead?
The last question, Mr. Trubrich.
All right. I mean, okay, just to follow up on my colleague, I mean, if it's so easy to take 180 million out of your OPEX within such a short time, and we have seen negative earnings trends now since 18 months, why did it take so long if it's not that hard? I mean, just leave the personnel costs out. We could still have then, if you say it, a third, 120 million in materials and SG&A costs saved. And we would be in a different position now. How would you see that?
Obviously, Mr. Trubrich, you want to join the excellence team because I can tell you this is not an easy job. And I also would emphasize again: if it would be so easy, we would have started much much earlier. But to get to realities. If we talk one third of this 120, that means 40 million is materials and chemicals. You have to calculate against that and weigh against that increases in wood cost and also in certain pulp cost. We are expecting that the pulp costs are a little bit increasing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is net off, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is maybe the toughest job. Because we cannot influence that so much.
Mm-hmm.
We have to rely also on the support and the cooperation of the suppliers. But as I mentioned before, it's much, much different to submit the press release of today to the supplier than the P&L of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty confident that we will make it. The other part is more has more to do with our capability, and I also tell you that it will not be that easy to negotiate a social plan with the unions.
Yeah, that's clear.
If I need you, I call you. And the third part is the SG&A. Yes, as Fritz also mentioned before, that's maybe not the easiest part, but that may be the part where we have the biggest influence on calling the shots, because we decide whether we need advisory cost, consultancy cost, and legal cost. There are initiatives on logistics, there are initiatives on any other part of this. Is close to 150, 160 million is the total part of this cost item. So be assured that we will do our level best.
Okay, and the question I wanted to ask actually was, usually Mr. Weninger presented to us the development in the of the specialities, the price premiums. I attended also the Capital Markets Day where there was a suggestion not to show that. Apparently you picked it up. So how should we, as the analysts now, think of that? Will it stay like that, or are you going to selectively inform us about the development of the premiums? It would be very, very...
Mr. Trubrich, as you mentioned, that the restructuring program is such an easy job, I think that the modeling is also a point. We are not going to sacrifice even 1 cent anymore on releasing such detailed figures, because firstly the customers are looking very, very strongly on these figures, and if we reduce our price by 3 cents and we have not reduced the customer price by 4 cents, they are immediately calling the next day.
Okay, but it's just in a situation like that where after the guidance adjustment and then you start not showing the development of the premiums, particularly considering the ramp up of Tencel next year, it just gives the flavor or impression that you somehow maybe prefer to go the easy way and not show that prices might have to come down significantly for in Tencel, for example.
Once again, with all respect to all analysts here on the phone call, I have first to look for the company and not to go not to make your life easy. I have to save one single penny, and this is 9 million euro a year.
All right, understand. Okay, thank you very much.
There are no further questions at this time.
Okay. If there is no further question, then I would say, also in the name of Fritz, many thanks for your participation. Many thanks for your very good questions. Be assured once again that we are under control of the cash, that we are under control of EBITDA, even on the background that we had to make a new guidance. But we are doing our level best to have a clean sweep on the 2013. That the reason for the write-offs and for the restructuring charges. So we have a, I'm not saying much easier, but we have a much cleaner I would say better starting place for 2014. Many thanks for your participation and goodbye.